Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know, that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to
a cappella version of Mary, did you know? I love everybody's a voice in there. What sounds like instruments or not. It's really cool. Well, good morning. It's 8:10. I'm John Pickens sitting in for Andrew McKay, who will be back December 26th, the day after Christmas. But I just want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. And we're going to do things a little bit differently this morning. You know, we've been doing the best of all morning long. Well, I think in the 8 o'clock hour, it's only appropriate to do Transgressors Memorial Services for this hour. They are amazing. Andrew does a great job on them. So let's get started with our very first one right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Khalid Hanafi, the Taliban's Minister of Vice and Virtue. At an event in Afghanistan's eastern province of Logar, Minister Hanafi announced, quote, "It is prohibited for a grown woman to recite Quranic verses or perform recitations in front of another grown woman." He added that even chanting very simple expressions of Muslim faith, such as Allahu Akbar or Subhanallah, are not allowed. Furthermore, since female Afghanis are not allowed to perform a call to prayer, there is also clearly, quote, "no permission for singing either." Now, obviously, if this were the United States and Hanafi was telling American women they could not pray or read religious texts to each other or sing, we would immediately excommunicate him as a male chauvinist pig oppressing women by telling them what to do with their voices. We would certainly call him a total sexist for supporting anything like the Taliban's prohibition on education for women beyond the sixth grade, showing their faces outside the home, or holding jobs. However, since one of our core beliefs is the toleration of other cultures under the guiding principle of cultural relativism, the idea that no culture is better or worse than any other, we feel very uncomfortable criticizing anything they do to their women in Afghanistan. Besides, we do feel some real admiration for the way those Sharia law-based cultures emphasize public virtue upon pain of torture and death. I mean, let's face it, fellow Otherin, who among us hasn't fantasized about establishing a ministry of vice and virtue to enforce our own woketopian values of gender ideology, climate justice, animal rights, and racial equity? But here's the real problem created by Khalid Hanafi. He's making it really hard for us to keep promoting our one true most holy doctrine that the United States is the worst nation in the world, a repressive masterpiece of racism, sexism, speciesism, ableism, and every other ism we can imagine. When stories like this come out, we find it very difficult to keep telling people that men holding doors open for women at restaurants or having a tradition of wives taking their husband's last name is proof of the evil sexism of America, when Afghanistan is prohibiting their women from voting, driving, learning to read, singing, praying, and reading religious texts to each other. Come on, man! We're trying to sell a narrative here, and you just aren't helping. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, a bit of praise for Neiman Marcus for finally doing the right thing and changing the name of their nearly 100-year-old gift-giving catalog from the Christmas book to the kinder, gentler, more inclusive, and frankly, less Christy holiday book. As you all know, anytime we can move away from public references to God, the Bible, and Jesus, the happier we are. That old-time religion simply isn't good enough for me anymore. It is certainly bad enough that the calendars and popular culture continue to refer to the day as Christmas, as if to rub all the other religions' faces in the fact that it started as a religious ceremony around Jesus, who is not the only reason for the season. even if his name is on it. But at least now one enlightened retailer will stop proselytizing through their consumerist marketing. Now, of course, one flaw of calling it the holiday book is this still begs the question of what's so holy about the day if it isn't about the little baby future carpenter. Holiday is better than Christmas, sure, but perhaps there are even better names. Perhaps a rotating title. You know, share and share alike. One year could be the Kwanzaa catalog. The next year could be the Hanukkah handbill. Perhaps later on, the solstice solicitation. The festive folio. The Yuletide yeller. Or even the December wish list. I mean, why does it have to be so tied to anything religious at all? One additional note. Since we're talking about it, we find ourselves rather uncomfortably aligned on this matter with at least some Christians who historically have criticized the Neiman Marcus Fantasy wish list book for its extravagance, such as this year's $1.9 million 18th century drawn carriage, which once belonged to the Spanish royal family, or its $777,000 Namibian safari. They have some odd idea that commercializing Christmas with such opulence muddies the message of the incarnation and the poverty of Jesus, distracting people from the true meaning of the celebration. Well, of course it does! And the more of that, the better. Plus, if this elimination of Christmas from the public square provokes those people to frustration and anger, enticing them to forget their own doctrines of mercy, grace, joy, peace, and whatnot, what a nice bonus. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, our highest praise for Her Excellency California's medium priestess of feminism, Julia Roberts, for lending her voice to the cause of electing the very first president identified female at birth. In an ad that encourages women who find themselves married to Trump supporters but wanting to vote for Queen Kamala, the first of her name, to nevertheless go into the voting booth and fill the bubble for the Democrats, emerging and lying to their spouses about what they did in the booth, Roberts has really hit a home run for modern feminism.
You can vote any way you want. And no one will ever know.
Did you make the right choice?
Sure did, honey.
Remember, what happens in the booth stays in the booth.
Now, someone might say that teaching a woman to hide her true political views from her husband out of fear doesn't sound like a particularly enlightened thing to say, but let me assure you, if you find yourself criticizing a level 18 certified feminist like Julia Roberts on gender issues, it's you who are mistaken, not her. Yes, it's true that ordinarily we tell women to stand up for themselves, be proud of what they believe, and not kowtow to a man, and yes, we feminists usually say no woman should let a man make decisions for her or tell her what to think. So normally, instead of making it sound like a secret vote for Kamala Harris is a sin to be hidden away from her repressive Trumper of a husband, we would probably say she should boast to the heavens that she voted for the vice president and leave that misogynist of a Neanderthal as quickly as possible. But no, dear congregants, you're missing the point here. It's simply too much for many women already suffering under the burden of being married to a Trumper to expect them to shoulder the additional challenging obligations of honesty, dignity, and self-expression, too. Better to take the small victories where you can steal them. Teach them to lie, to hide, to pretend, even as they preserve their marriages to these horrific oafs and enjoy the wink and nod knowledge that they have conspired with all the other marriage-enslaved swing staters to send this election over the top for truth, liberty, openness, and joy. Above all, the joy of deceiving one's husband. So yes, for you, Julia Roberts, way to teach women to keep pretending to submit to their men and commit small acts of rebellion wherever it's safe to do so. A little ballot box infidelity never hurt anybody, and maybe it can just save this country, even if it can't save your marriage. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by Blowin' in the Wind, purveyors of the finest gourmet grass and grass-adjacent extracts. If you've never tasted a succulent crabgrass smoothie or a nice cup of wheatgrass tea, then unspecified gender child, are you in for a treat? Sample the millet malted or the dandelion latte and you will be in the tall grass, my friends. Remember, if it's good enough for Moo, it's good enough for you. At Blowin' in the Wind, literally all you can taste is the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Oh my goodness, that one was good. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Quick look at your traffic right now, not seeing any delays. I-10, I-110 looking good, no accidents to report. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Hey folks, this is Jimmy Patronis, Florida's Chief Financial Officer, wishing each of you a Merry Christmas. Now, I just received an amazing phone call a few weeks ago that I want to tell you about. President Trump called me and said, "Jimmy, I want you to run for Congress." Wow. Yes, the guy who just won a landslide victory defeating the crazy Democrats in Washington, the guy who just got shot, stood back up and said, "Fight, fight, fight." That guy. President Donald J. Trump told me to run for Congress. Well, my mama didn't raise a dummy, so my response to the president was a very simple, "Yes, sir." I will run, and we will enact President Trump's agenda. We will secure the border. We will get rid of the woke foolishness in Washington. It's an honor of a lifetime to have President Trump's endorsement. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Patronis, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support. Paid for by Friends of Jimmy Patronis, Inc.
This is Wendy with Barbary Plumbing, wishing you a safe holiday season. Remember, please don't drink and drive.
Hi, this is Brandon Cherry.
And Taylor Cartwright.
We're the owners of the Culver's here in Pensacola and Milton. Just wishing everybody happy holiday season.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Hi, this is James Zirkle with Seville Power and Lawn Equipment. Wishing you happy holidays.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas.
Hi, this is David Wayne, and I just want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm John Picking, sitting in for Andrew McKay, who will be back on the 26th, the day after Christmas. Well, Merry Christmas to everyone. You know, in the 8 o'clock hour, I wanted to switch it up just a little bit. As my Christmas gift to you, we are going to do Transgressors all hour long. And I've got another one lined up for you. Let's give it to Brother Andrew.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the outdated practice of using periods at the end of text messages. In an ongoing effort to be a more loving and inclusive society, we are listening to the hurt feelings of the Gen Z younglings who tell us that periods in text messages are overly formal, negative, aggressive, and confrontational. Instead of using the traditional punctuation of their white oppressors, Gen Z prefers each idea, what old people used to call a sentence, be sent as its own text message, and without an ending punctuation mark. The send button is enough to tell the recipient that the thought has ended. You don't need to emphasize the point with a point, as if they are too stupid to realize the thought is complete. No, the text period is fundamentally othering, abrupt, and off-putting, as if inviting a fight. So final, so objective, so separating. You know, the kind of thing only a colonizer would endorse. Not gentle, encouraging, and inclusive like the comma. or the dash. And remember, many, many, many Gen Zs suffer from incapacitating anxiety. And it's no wonder when they are continuously feeling demeaned, condescended to, and yelled at by overly inconsiderate punctuation in text messages. It's a wonder they're even able to muster the courage to leave their parents' house at all, ever. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Oh, how we cry.
Second, Mark Zuckerberg, chairman of Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, for recently confirming that the Biden administration pressured them to censor dissent during the pandemic, including satire and humor. Even if this is true, it is precisely the sort of thing you never admit publicly. One of the loudest virtue signals is that we hate government censorship, unless we are using government censorship. As you all learned in your very first week of Woke Catechism, we always believe in censoring views we hate while opposing censorship of anything we like. The free speech pretense is one of our four sacred hypocrisies at the heart of our religion. So when Zuckerberg revealed the censorship and that he regretted complying with it, this was a double deadly sin, confessing and repenting. And as if this betrayal weren't enough, Zuckerberg also admitted that Meta suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story as Russian disinformation, an editorial decision he also now regrets. Yet again, we remind you the facts do not matter. What matters is never making the Biden administration look bad and never allowing the Trump administration to look good. In one ghastly misstep, Meta vindicated Trump and granted him at least a level 2 victimhood claim, while also casting criticism on Biden and making him look like the oppressor. For shame, Mark Zuckerberg. For shame. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to take a moment to praise B-list actor and certified level 3 wokenista Bradley Whitford for publicly criticizing equally B-list actress Cheryl Hines for her refusal to criticize her husband, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s decision to withdraw from the presidential race and endorse he who shall not be named but rhymes with stump. As Whitford wrote on Twitter, "Way to stay silent while your lunatic husband throws his support behind the adjudicated rapist who brags about stripping women of their fundamental rights. Gutsy. Great example for the kids. Profile in courage." Now, putting aside the obviously shade-throwing reference to John F. Kennedy's famous book, Whitford might ordinarily find himself the canceled subject of our memorial service for the speech crime of being a man to publicly criticize a woman. However, since yet another of the four sacred hypocrisies teaches us, men must never criticize women unless that woman is betraying the cause of womanhood, independence, and wokeness in general. Now, some misguided conservatives might praise Cheryl Hines for supporting her husband or for realizing she's an actress and not a political scientist. We, of course, know better. As the great treatise on media responsibility, Team America World Police, teaches us, all actors have a duty to right any wrongs in the world they can identify using their immense cultural prestige and razor-like mental acuity. So for Hines to stay silent is to violate her duty as an actress. But also, as we teach repeatedly, all wives have an obligation to openly and publicly criticize their husbands whenever possible, thus fighting the patriarchy, which makes her gentle submissiveness a violation of her duty as a woman. She might as well put on the red robe and white sun hat of the handmaid. For staying silent, for condoning support of the evil one, and for deferring to her husband, Cheryl Hines, we cast thee out. And Bradley Whitford, we award you one silver thistle for your unisex service tunic. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please take a moment to fill out the updated congregational membership cards found in this week's handout. Remember, we don't call them bulletins anymore. You'll notice an expanded section on pronoun preferences. Now, with the fully up-to-date holy acronym string, simply circle all that apply to you. We've also added a section on species for those of you who prefer to identify as animal, plant, or fungus, as opposed to the humanity assigned you at birth. Also, and we're especially excited about this, tell us how tall you think you are, so that we can properly look above or below your eye level when speaking with you as a way of honoring the real height of your inner truth. Refreshments this week are provided by Potato Potato, purveyors of the fine recycled baked potato peels collected from restaurant dumpsters and garbage disposals everywhere and aged for at least 21 hours in an infusion bath of treated wastewater effluent. Instead of letting potato peels go needlessly to waste, their government-enforced mandatory collection program ensures a steady stream of nutrient-rich, sun-dried potato peels in three flavors: lime, sea salt, and original patchouli oil. Potato Potato, You can't just taste the virtue, you can savor it.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
I don't know how to keep a straight face of potato peels. Oh, my goodness. Quick look at your traffic. No accidents to let you know about, and even no backups. I-10, I-110 looking good. Let's roll over and check in with David Wayne in the newsroom.
Sure, and good morning, John.
Good morning. Former
President Bill Clinton being treated at a hospital in Washington, D.C. Apparently, he developed a fever. A spokesperson said he was admitted to Georgetown University Hospital yesterday just for tests and observation. And John, Santas from around the world are grabbing their surfboards and heading to Florida today. It's the Surfing Santas Gathering in Cocoa Beach. It's their 16th year having this this Surfing Santas Gathering. Hundreds of people are expected to show up and catch some waves while dressed in their finest red and white suits. And there will also apparently be snowmen, elves, and things of that nature at this gathering. So there you go.
I've got no words for that one.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, yeah. David. Thank you very much for that. We'll be back in a minute with more transgressors.
After all American Airlines flights were grounded for a while this Christmas Eve morning due to a computer issue. A storm, meantime, is moving through parts of the Northeast.
Winter weather advisories have been issued across interior New England, where snowfall totals could exceed 6 inches. Lighter snow is expected along the I-95 corridor, but large cities like New York and Boston will see at least some snowflakes. Further south, from Philly down to D.C., warmer weather will bring in some freezing rain and ice.
Fox meteorologist Adam Klotz. President Biden signs the defense budget passed by Congress, including a pay raise for lower-ranking troops.
The measure also stripped language allowing transgender medical care for children and military families. That triggered strong opposition from Democrats and the president, who says no service members should have to decide between their family's health care access and their call to serve our nation.
That's Jared Halpern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Well, American Airlines has lifted its nationwide ground stop on U.S. flights this Christmas Eve morning. The airline blaming IT issues on the flight delays this morning. Pensacola Airport Director Matt Coughlin talked to us to tell us what impact it's having locally.
Sure. The delays here are pretty minimal. We've had 3 departures that look like they were delayed about an hour on average.
Coughlin does say the delays for American Airlines passengers could end up cascading and cause further delays on connecting flights throughout the day. The Federal Aviation Administration says American Airlines reported those issues about 6:30 this morning. The ground stop was finally lifted just before 8 o'clock this morning. The House Ethics Panel released their report on former Congressman Matt Gaetz yesterday, despite his efforts to block the release of that report by filing a federal lawsuit earlier that morning. Democrat Glenn Ivey of Maryland is one of the committee members who voted to release it. The report accuses Gaetz of paying for sex and having sex with a minor.
This is something the public should know. They should have a chance to see what this information is. You never know what he might do down the road.
The committee had originally voted against releasing the report, which would be standard procedure in cases where the person under investigation resigns from office and becomes a private citizen. Gaetz did post on X yesterday, firing back at that report. He does deny all of the allegations against him, and he says some of the witnesses that were interviewed by the panel were deemed not credible by the Department of Justice. Veterans that receive their medical care at the VA but haven't been eligible for dental care have a new option to get that care soon. The Florida Veterans Dental Care Program has been approved and funded by the state.
I just went inside, made an appointment for dental, booked 5 months out, so they're sending me community care somewhere.
That is veteran John Hills, and he's one of only 15% of veterans that get their care at the VA that qualify for dental care. And for those 15%, there's only one dentist available in the Pensacola area. The program, this new program, will allocate $1 million for dental care for veterans, and any veteran with an honorable discharge will be eligible for it. One person has died, another hurt after a shooting last night. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says the gunshots were reported just before 6:30 on the 7900 block of Rouse Drive. One person had been shot in the head. The other victim had a non-life-threatening injury to their leg. Right now, there's no word on suspects or a motive in that case. There is some new information on that officer-involved shooting in Baldwin County over the weekend. The suspect has been identified as 24-year-old Tyler Swanson of Foley. Officials say Swanson was a passenger in a vehicle that was pulled over by Baldwin County deputies on the Baldwin Beach Expressway north of Robertsdale Sunday night. Deputies say he became combative and pulled a firearm. A deputy ended up shooting Swanson. Swanson died at the scene. That shooting is being investigated by the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office Major Crimes Unit. The deputies involved have been placed on administrative leave. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got an update on our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. Even 98 rolling through Mary Esther is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at some beautiful weather for this Christmas Eve. Plenty of sunshine, high near 65 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 53 with conditions looking nice and calm for Santa. As we go into Wednesday, your Christmas day, we'll deal with about a 40% chance of rain. It looks like the rain will be moving in later in on the day after about 7 p.m. Most of the day just going to be looking cloudy, high near 68 on that Christmas day. As we go into Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, we've got 46, partly cloudy in Pensacola, 44 in Gulf Breeze, and we've got 42 degrees reported in Milton. And taking a look at our markets this morning, the markets are open today. They will be closed tomorrow. Today, the markets have opened up. Just a little bit. The Dow is up just about 2.5 points now at 42,909. S&P up 13 points at 59.87. The NASDAQ up just about 80 points this morning at 19,845. 10-year bond rate up at 4.625%. Gold prices today are up $3.50 at $26,3170. Silver price is up 9 cents at $30.28. And Bitcoin is up just under 4,000 at 96,766. Ethereum's up. Solana's up. Dogecoin even up by a penny at 33 cents. It's 8:36 here at News Radio 92.3. American Airlines has lifted its nationwide ground stop on all U.S. flights. The Texas-based airline, which operates upward of 12,000 flights per month Newark International and John F. Kennedy airports temporarily grounded their planes during the holiday rush today. The FAA says that American Airlines reported technical issues at about 6:30. And again, we talked to Airport Director Matt Coughlin here at the Pensacola Airport, who told us that it was having a minimal effect on operations in Pensacola. Well, most businesses are open on Christmas Eve for all of us last-minute shoppers. According to Axios, 58% of shoppers started their gift shopping in November.
Well, my wife started shopping yesterday at Gucci, and after that purchase, we're probably done for the year. No, I'm just kidding. We start early.
Before Halloween, actually. Be ahead of the game, so I don't like the last-minute shopping where you feel like you're under pressure. I like to enjoy the holidays, so I start early so we can enjoy the holidays.
All right, then. I'll be starting mine after work. The National Retail Federation expects to see a 3.5% boost for holiday shopping this year over last, with more than 150 million people taking part in last-minute shopping. And Ford and General Motors are each donating $1 million for President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration next month. Both companies also donating vehicles for that event. 8:38, your next news at 9, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We're sharing more than ever before during the 2024 Subaru Share the Love event. Now through January 2nd, when you purchase or lease a new Subaru, Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of four nationally recognized charities: the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. Or choose our local charity, the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association, and Anderson Subaru will add an extra $250 to Subaru's donation. And for every routine Subaru vehicle service visit, Anderson Subaru will donate $5 more to the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association. So far, we've donated over $175,000 to help fight breast cancer in Pensacola. Get a great vehicle and support a great cause at the Subaru Share the Love event now through January 2nd. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
$250 donation for new purchase or lease. Promotion ends January 2nd. See retailer or AndersonSubaru.com/share. For details.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and as I light my Hanukkah menorah, I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah. Also, a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. From all of us at News Radio 92.3.
Hey, everybody, this is Austin Price, co-host of Pensacola Right Now from 4 to 7, wanting to wish you both a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year on behalf of News Radio 92.3.
Merry Christmas. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Silent Night by Wilson Phillips, right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. As my Christmas gift to you, as I've been doing all morning long, in this 8 o'clock hour, we're doing the Transgressors Memorial Services. And let's get back into it with Brother Andrew.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the West Point, Virginia Public School Board for paying former high school teacher Peter Vlaming over $500,000 to settle a wrongful termination lawsuit he filed after they fired him for refusing to use a student's preferred pronouns. The 7-year French teacher claimed that being terminated for refusing to refer to a transgender student as male when he was identified female at birth was a violation of his constitutional religious rights, and the Virginia Supreme Court agreed with him. During class, Vlaming avoided the issue by only referring to the young man in gender-neutral or circumlocutory ways so that he would neither have to say his true now gender nor say the gender of his birth, thus coyly trying to avoid the issue entirely. But as you all learned in your preliminary Wokeite training, silence is violence. And anything other than openly and fully endorsing a person's current gender of the moment is a very serious gender crime, and Vlaming got fired for the word violence he engaged in. Now, of course, we also lay heavy blame on the court for siding with him, inexplicably. But really, it's the school board who deserves the blame because they gave up the fight. They could have appealed to the United States Supreme Court. They could have dragged their feet on paying. They could have done all sorts of things to fight this outrageously transphobic, dead-naming, misgendering fascist and his blatantly money-grabbing lawsuit. But of course now, other backwards and repressive teachers everywhere will feel emboldened to inflict similar psychological torture on their students by using no pronouns at all because the West Point Public School Board caved and rewarded this outrageously non-inclusive behavior. So yes, the Virginia Supreme Court and Peter Vlaming get our disapproval, but the school board gets the total boot. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Margaret Brennan, the host of Face the Nation, for her bumbling and counterproductive performance as co-moderator of this week's vice presidential debate. Now, normally we would give Margaret a pass. She's been a consistent ally of our cause, especially during COVID. And of course, as a female host of a Sunday morning network TV news show, she officially has immunity level 3B. But of course, this is not immunity level 4, 5, or 6, the latter of which we reserve for the truly untouchable, such as Kamala Harris, Michelle Obama, and George Clooney. Let's start with the most obvious of Brennan's virtue sins. The hard-nosed fact-check of Tim Walz over his false claim that he was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square protests in 1989, which, of course, he was not.
Many times I will talk a lot, I will get caught up in the rhetoric.
Now, yes, he obviously lied, but precisely because this is known, it was horribly wrong of Brennan to point it out by direct questioning and following up and asking again when he didn't answer the first time.
I've not been perfect, and I'm a knucklehead at times.
Unacceptable. But it was worse than that, because at a later moment in the debate, when talking about gun control, one of our five holy policy positions, Walz made one of the worst gaffes of the entire evening.
Become friends with school shooters. I've seen it.
Oh, dear. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Now, obviously, what he meant was that he had become close to the victims of school shooters, and any reasonable person would have understood that. But instead of letting the gaffe metastasize into a viral meme as it did, Brennan should have recognized the danger and nipped it in the bud by stopping the debate and asking him gently if that's really what he meant to say, poor fella, since he had clearly become rattled by the bright lights and the pretty girls and the empty auditorium, and she should have helped the cause by calming him down and holding his hand while he got himself uncaught from all the rhetoric. But the real virtue sin was early on in the debate when Margaret fact-checked J.D. Vance for something he said that was actually correct, smugly tried to move on, and then cut off Vance's mic when he tried to clarify his position.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The CBP roadmap has not been on the books.
This is 1990. It's something that Kamala Harris created.
Gentlemen, the audience can't hear you because your mics are cut.
To be clear, we have no problem with any of this in principle. The problem was the horribly clumsy way she did it. It was so obvious and inartful, especially after CBS had agreed to not conduct in-debate fact checks, that she left herself exposed to criticisms of bias and even made people feel sympathy for Vance. Come on, girl! You know you have to at least put on a show of impartiality, and it was the utter ineptitude of this interaction which requires us to chastise her out of the fold. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, our strongest praise this week is for the New York Times and its delightful decision to publish the opinion piece by their nonfiction book critic, Jennifer Zelai, entitled, "The Constitution is Sacred. Is it Also Dangerous?" She makes several important points about the anti-democratic flaws of the Constitution, such as that a person can be president without a majority of the consent of the governed, or that the Supreme Court can strike down a woman's right to make her own health care choices when the three key justices making that decision were only confirmed by senators representing 44% of the U.S. electorate. But the real power in her piece is the way she explains that the entire framework of the Constitution is not some neutral, objective, apolitical compromise, but in fact embodies extremism and repression masquerading as fairness and historical objectivity. Just ask yourselves, if the Constitution were really neutral and an originalist reading of it didn't take sides, why do Republicans so vehemently defend it and Democrats so eagerly criticize it? Just because a bunch of dead people 235 years ago made a deal, why should that bind us today? What she points out is that the so-called originalism is really just a form of constitution worship aimed at the writings of a bunch of repressive old white male bigots from a long time ago who certainly don't share our values today. She's so right. Instead of thinking of the Constitution as a binding agreement on the rules of a republic that has stood the test of time and been the envy of the world, Zelai and the New York Times are saying it's time to stop being the oldest constitutional republic and start over. If we can't win within the most stable political system in history, it's time to overthrow it. Quit pretending we can ever use the current mechanisms for change to make the really dramatic change we need. Stop honoring the political hand-me-downs of a bunch of dead white homophobic racist misogynists, and let's start from scratch, since revolution is the only way to really establish just and stable governments, as so many revolutions have proven in the last century. So down with the Constitution and up with Jennifer Zelaya and the New York Times and their call for upheaval. Viva la revolution! Si se puede! Liberté, égalité, sororité! Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Refreshments this week are provided by, if you can't beat them, join them. Makers of fine adult beverages created from only the highest quality fermented beet juice. Jamie and Mark's brilliant thought experiment was, why make wine out of grapes when you can be more inclusive of all the fruits and vegetables for your alcoholic delicacies, starting with beets? Whether it's their red beet Beaujolais, their sugar beet Chardonnay, or their golden beet borscht spritzer, you just know it's going to taste every bit as earthy as the dirt those beets were grown in. If you can't beat them, join them. You can really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Oh my goodness. You can taste the virtue. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We're going to come back with one final segment of the Transgressors Memorial Service. This is my Christmas present to you right here on News Radio.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Classes start January 10th. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you we could help you reach your audience while they're at a sporting event? Let ADX Digital help you connect to your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with us today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and I usually hang out in the newsroom at News Radio 92.3. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Just want to wish you a Merry Christmas, you and your family and everyone listening. We've got one last Transgressors Memorial Service that happens right here, right now. Let's check in with Brother Andrew.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the National Football League for deciding to allow players to continue performing celebration dances that emulate President-elect say not his name. In case you haven't seen it, all last week, players on both offense and defense were celebrating big plays by standing together and moving their arms up and down in that awkwardly irregular and hypnotic style of Donald Who Shall Not Be Named. When asked whether this sort of overtly political and divisive behavior would be allowed, the NFL said it, quote, had no issue with the dancing. But oh dear Othryn, how can this be? After so many hard years spent capturing the NFL for our cause through getting them to allow kneeling during the Star Spangled Banner, adding a black national anthem, converting the Redskins to the Commanders, and even putting inspirational gibberish on the back of players' helmets, including phrases like stop hate, Black Lives Matter, end racism, and my own personal favorite, inspire change. To see the NFL cave to the forces of anti-wokeosity like this is so very disappointing. We thought we'd captured the NFL effectively for Wave 3 Kaepernickism, almost to the point of forcing security police to wear plain clothes and ending the warlike practice of military flyovers at games. But as is often the case, when heretic football players feel suddenly emboldened by watching more than half of the country vote for the unnamed one, they take the chance to make light of the situation through anxiety-inducing hate dances. So to the NFL, if you cannot regain your position as a certified progressive organization, banning anything even remotely favorable to President Rhymes with Stump, we must hereby revoke your certificate of tolerance, defrock you of your rainbow epaulets, and cast you into the NASCAR abyss, where you'll be slowly devoured by revisionist historians for 1,000 years. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Representative Nancy Mace and Speaker Mike Johnson for their cold, cruel, and thoroughly transphobic response to the needs of newly elected Representative Sarah McBride, the first openly transgender member of Congress. By the way, we say first openly because we want to imply without evidence that due to cultural anti-trans bigotry, perhaps many current and former members of Congress have been transgender and either could not reveal or did not even realize their true natures. This week, Mace declared war on trans people by demanding that only so-called biological women be allowed to use the Capitol restrooms marked for their gender assigned at birth.
I'm not going to allow biological men into women's private spaces. I will stand in the brink and stand in the way of anyone on the radical left who thinks that it's okay for a penis to be in a women's locker room or a bathroom or a changing room. Hell no. I'm not going to stand for it.
So disappointing. So offensive. But what Nancy Mace refuses to understand is that until a trans woman like Sarah McBride is allowed to do everything a cis woman can do, we will be stuck in this separate but unequal world that denies all the sacred truths of the holy acronym string. Sadly, Speaker Johnson has agreed to the demand and banned trans women from using female bathrooms in the Capitol. While explaining his horrid decision, Johnson gave the most hate speech answer I've ever heard spoken by an elected official not from Alabama.
A man is a man, and a woman is a woman. And a man cannot become a woman. But I also believe that we treat everybody with dignity.
Well, it is so very hypocritical of you to offer to treat trans people with dignity after denying the validity of their very existence. This is exactly the kind of word violence that leads to actual violence and oppression. Until bathrooms are based on what's on your mind and not what's on your body, nobody will be free. Now, an important announcement. Because this is an active trans emergency, the Multilateral Council of the Elders of the Enlightenment Southern District has activated all members of the National Chanting Mafia, chapters 1 through 4, 6, and 13, for a national protest sit-in being held at City Hall restrooms around the nation this weekend. Participation in this activation will count towards your virtue badges and your annual woke pliance accreditation hours under the allyship and social disruption scores, but not, I repeat, you will not be receiving credit for the publicly pretending you believe in unity score at this time. Appeals for credit may be filed with the relevant prefect. As part of Occupy Bathrooms 3.0, we will be mixing genders indiscriminately in groups and chanting our words of power in as many municipal bathrooms as we can find. We're still workshopping the verbiage of the chants, so be sure to vote on the card found in your We Don't Call It a Bulletin as you depart the service this morning. Here are the top three candidates. Stalls are just and stalls are right. Demand a stall with all your might. Stand up and stay is what we know for all who must sit down and go. And the third candidate, freedom for thee and freedom to pee is all we want for you and me. So be sure to join us this weekend as we all strive to break through the porcelain ceiling and end urinal violence today. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our highest praise for the thought innovators at Jaguar Land Rover Automotive for their brilliant new ad series entitled Copy Nothing. The Clever campaign features androgynous models of various races and ages wearing brightly colored, over-the-top, fashion-forward, gender-bending costumes, parading on screen with slogans such as Create Exuberant, Live Vivid, Delete Ordinary, and Break Molds, spelled with a U. The way these non-pastel misfits from a Blade Runner fashion show demonstrate an out-of-this-world unconventionality of both hairstyle, clothing, and race and gender really inspires us to support the luxury automobiles of Jaguar. In fact, the ads feel like what would have happened if Andy Warhol had taken acid at a 70s Tupperware party and decided to make raincoats out of the merchandise. Barbarella herself never imagined anything so strange. It's as if all the fine leaders of the United Colors of Benetton returned and turned their creative talents from unisex fashions to gender-fluid automobiles. So daring, so bold, so completely unrelated to anything having to do with cars, we love it. As Chief Creative Officer and Professor of Imaginary Image Imagineering, Jerry McGovern stated, New Jaguar is a brand built around exuberant modernism. It's imaginative, bold, and artistic at every touchpoint. It is unique and fearless. Well, all we can say is, it certainly was fearless.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.